39. Zoya. Zoya knew she was being imprudent, indulging in the same recklessness she'd scolded Nina for again and again, but she wasn't going to let one of her soldiers be used as a pawn. The apparat had a game to play, and he would play it. Zoya intended to dictate the rules. At the edge of the beach, she pulled down cloud cover slowly to avoid drawing attention, then wreathed herself in sea mist. She summoned the wind, letting it carry her low over the waves as she skated across the water. This was the power that the amplifiers at her wrists, Juris's scales, had given her. It was not quite flight, and it required every bit of her focus, but the apparat would be anticipating a disguised flyer or raft. She had a better chance of getting Nina out if she caught the priest and his men off guard. And if Nina is dead... Zoya had lost as many allies as she'd sent enemies to the grave. Nina wasn't even a friend. She was a subordinate. An upstart student with a gift for languages who could always be counted on to make trouble if she couldn't find some to get into. But Zoya had been her commander and her teacher, and that meant she was under Zoya's protection. Joris's laugh rumbled through her.
Zoya of the Garden, when will you cease your lies?
As she approached the monstrous Fjerdan base, a chill swept through her. It was even bigger than it had seemed from the beach. She circled it slowly, peering through the mist she'd summoned, trying to get her bearings. The eastern tower was obvious enough, but it had to be 20 stories tall. Where was the apparat keeping Nina? He'd said the cells, and... There, nearly at the top of the structure, an expanse of smooth wall. Its surface unbroken by windows. Those must be the holding cells. But how was she meant to get up there? She could vault herself on the currents of the air, but not without being seen, and a sudden thunderstorm would be more than a little suspicious. She circled the base slowly and spotted a series of piers on its lower level, where a small craft could dock. On one of them, two Fjerdan soldiers were repairing the battered hull of an armed boat. Zoya stepped onto the dock and lifted her hands, clenching her fists. The soldiers gasped and clawed at their throats as the air left their lungs. She let them drop unconscious to the deck and set about stripping one of his uniform. She bound and gagged them both, then rolled them out of sight. She was grateful for the soldier's heavy coat and hat. Women didn't serve in Fjerdas military. She crept up the dock and climbed a metal staircase onto the main deck. She kept her head down and tried to make her walk determined. Zoya was not an actress and had no gift for subterfuge, but she only needed to make it to the tower. The naval base was moving through the waves, picking up speed, heading north, she was sure, to lend support to the rest of Fjerdas' forces. Zoya reached the eastern observation tower and slipped inside. It didn't seem safe to take the elevator, but when she ducked her head inside the stairwell, she heard the clamor of footsteps coming from above. She couldn't speak Fjerdan. She didn't want to risk meeting fellow soldiers. The elevator, it would have to be. She entered and jabbed the number for the floor just below the observation deck, unsure of what she would find there. On the 10th floor, the elevator jolted to a stop. Zoya kept her eyes on the ground as a pair of shiny black boots entered. Whoever it was pushed a button, and they were moving upward again. He said something in Fjerdan. She grunted a reply, her heart racing. Now his voice was angry. He grabbed Zoya's chin and shoved her head up. Grizzled face, black uniform emblazoned with the white wolf. Druskella. He drew his sidearm, but Zoya's hands were faster. Her gust struck his chest and he slammed against the elevator wall with a clang, then fell in a lifeless heap to the floor. All saints. Now she had a body on her hands. Frantically, Zoya smacked the buttons of the high floors, praying that no one would be waiting when the doors opened. The elevator stopped at what looked like a gunnery. She could see weapons pointing down from every window, and the place seemed to be deserted. For now. She rolled the body into the corridor, then took a moment to send lightning jolting through the guns, melting their long barrels. A small thing. But as long as she was here, she might as well leave some destruction in her wake. The elevator doors closed. And at last, she arrived at what she hoped was the prison floor. If she'd gotten her count right, this place would be heavily guarded. She raised her hands. The doors opened on silence. Zoya saw two long gray hallways curving in either direction. Both walls were lined with doors. Were there Grisha behind them? She took the hallway to the right and dropped the pressure, dampening the sound of her steps. But she needn't have bothered. When she rounded the corner, she saw a thick-waisted woman with silky blonde hair seated in a chair at the end of the hall, the apparat behind her, bracketed by two priest guards in their brown robes. Nina. Zoya hadn't seen her since she'd left the little palace for her mission, and she'd forgotten the extent of Jenya's tailoring. It was like looking at a stranger, except for the stubborn glint in her eyes. That was pure Zenic. The apparat had a knife to her throat.
Easy, General Nazielensky. You see where you are, don't you?
He gestured to the windowless walls.
A dead end. I doubt even the inimitable Nina Zenic would survive having her jugular cut.
Will it be so easy to explain a dead girl whom everyone knows to be a good and pious member of Jarl Brum's household? The apparat smiled. His gums were black.
When I show him the bone darts we took from her clothing and expose her spies in the Hringsa, I imagine Jarl Brum will give me a medal. We've taken Nina's weapons and her power is useless against my healthy priest guards. Shall we see if she'd like to use her twisted gift to call some corpses to do her bidding?
Nina said nothing, only pressed her lips together, her gaze focused on Zoya.
I don't think she will,
the apparat continued.
She can't call the dead without destroying her cover and putting dear Hannah Broom in danger of being charged with collusion. That would spoil her betrothal to the Crown Prince now, wouldn't it?
What do you want? Zoya said. Take me as your prisoner and set Nina free. No, Nina cried.
You mistake me, Zoya Nazielensky. I do not want you as my captive, but as my comrade. Though be assured, he said. My monks stand at the ready. One step toward me, and this whole room will be dosed with Parem gas.
Zoya's eyes darted to the cells, the ceiling, the two priest guards flanking the apparat. There were vents in the walls, but he might be bluffing. She had antidote in her pocket. Was it worth the risk? She'd have to dose herself with antidote, then fight off the effects and priest guards at the same time. Zoya shook her head.
Do you have any love for Ravka at all?
Ravka was meant to be ruled by holy men, and your king is not one. He is an abomination. The saints must be freed from him.
I think you find abomination where it's convenient, the same way you locate your saints. What do you want?
We're short on time.
Were you seen?
I killed a man on the way up.
I see,
the apparat said with some distaste. He nudged one of the monks.
Bring me the boy.
The priest guard moved to obey, opening the nearest cell and leading out an emaciated prisoner.
This poor soul was taken from a Fjerdan village by Jarl Brum. He's a heartrender, or maybe a healer. He was never trained, but now he does whatever the drug Parem tells him to.
The apparat removed a packet from his robes, and the heartrender lifted his head, sniffing the air, a low moan escaping his throat.
You and I are going to leave this place together, Zoya Nazielensky. You will declare your allegiance to Vadik Demidov, the true Lansov king. And you will become my saint, a symbol of the new Ravka.
And if I say no, Nina will be tortured by your monks.
She will be tortured by this heartrender, one of your own. He will take the skin from her body inch by inch. And when her heart begins to fail, I'll have him heal her and start all over. Maybe I'll have Miss Zenek dosed with the drug. I understand she survived one encounter with Parem.
I doubt she'll be so lucky again.
For the first time, Zoya saw panic enter Nina's eyes.
I won't let that happen, she vowed. I will not fail you. If Nina Zenik dies here today, the apparat continued, who will remember her name? She is no saint, has worked no miracles.
I'll remember, Zoya said, her fury growing. I remember all their names.
You and I will leave this tower. You will announce you've defected to our side and offer your service to the true Lance of Air. You will join us and see the false king deposed.
Where does this plan end, priest? You've told me what you intend, but what is your goal?
Demidov on the throne, Ravka purified and sanctified by the saints.
And you?
I will attend to the matter of Ravka's soul, and I will give you a gift that no one else can.
Which is?
I know the locations of Broom's secret bases, all the hidden places where he's keeping Grisha prisoners. Men, women, children, maybe even friends you once thought dead. Not even Fjerd's king and queen know where to find them. Only Jarl Broom and my spies. The witch hunter is far less stealthy than he thinks, and my followers have done their work well. I see I have your full attention.
Grisha in cells. Grisha being tortured and experimented on. Grisha she could save. You mean to make me choose between my king and my people?
Haven't the Grisha suffered enough? Think of all the prison doors that would fly open if you joined my cause. Imagine all the suffering your people will endure until then.
Do you know what I think? Zoya said, edging closer. If she could manage a lightning strike before the monks released the gas, she and Nina could make quick work of the rest of the apparat's men. This has never been about the saints or restoring Ravka to the faith. Only your own desire to rule. Do you resent men born of royal blood? Women with power in their veins?
Or do you truly think you know what's best for Ravka?
The priest's eyes were dark as pits.
I have been waiting for the saints to speak to me since I was a child. Maybe you recited the same prayers, had the same hopes. Most children do, but somewhere along the way I realized no one would answer my prayers. I would have to build my own cathedral and fill it with my own saints.
He held up the packet of Parem.
And now they speak when I want them to. Speak, Sancta Zoya.
The Heartrender, eyes focused on the drug he so desired, twisted his fingers in the air. Nina screamed, blood leaking from her eyes, her nose. Stop, shouted Zoya. The apparat signaled to the Heartrender, who whimpered softly, but went still. The priest dabbed a bit of orange powder onto the Grisha's tongue as reward. Zoya watched the Heartrender's eyes roll back into his head, watched the blood trickle from Nina's nose.
She's like a sister to you, no? Maybe like a daughter.
The apparat smiled gently, serenely.
Will you be the mother she deserves? The mother they all deserve?
Zoya remembered her own mother marching her down the aisle of the cathedral to hand her to the rich old man who would be her groom. She remembered the priest standing behind him, ready to consecrate a sham marriage for the sake of a little coin. She remembered the Suli circling her on the clifftop. Daughter, they'd whispered. Daughter. Zoya looked at the Heartrender, looked at the cells. How many of them were full? How many cells were there in military bases and secret laboratories? Whether she chose her king or her people, she would never be able to save them all. She could hear Jenya's voice ringing in her ears. You push us away. Keep us at arm's distance so that you won't mourn us. But you'll mourn us anyway. That's the way love works. Understanding burned through her like fire from a dragon's mouth, leaving her weightless as ash. She would never be able to save them all.
But that didn't mean she was Sabina leading her child to the slaughter. Daughter. Why had that word frightened her so? She remembered Jenya looping her arm through hers, Alina embracing her on the steps of the sanatorium, Nikolai drawing her close in the garden, the peace he'd granted her in that moment. This is what love does. In the stories, love healed your wounds, fixed what was broken, allowed you to go on. But love wasn't a spell, some kind of benediction to be whispered, a balm or a cure-all. It was a single, fragile thread which grew stronger through connection, through shared hardship and honored trust. Zoya's mother had been wrong. It wasn't love that had ruined her. It was the death of it. She'd believed that love would do the work of living. She'd let the thread fray and snap. This is what love does. An old echo, but it wasn't Sabina she heard now. It was Liliana's voice as she stood fearless in the church, as she risked everything to fight for a child who wasn't her own. This is what love does. How long had Zoya feared being bound to others? How little had she trusted that thread of connection? That was why she'd shied away from the gifts the dragon offered. They demanded she open her heart to the world. And she'd turned away, afraid of what she might lose. Daughter, we see you. She had failed to keep David safe. But Jenya hadn't turned away from her. She'd failed to keep the Darkling from returning. But Alina hadn't damned her for it. And Nikolai had offered her a kingdom. He'd offered her the love she'd been seeking the whole of her life, even if she'd been afraid to take it, even if she'd been too much of a coward to look him in the eye and admit that it wasn't Ravka's future she sought to preserve, but her own fragile, frightened heart. Joris had known. Joris had seen it all.
Open the door.
Love was on the other side, and it was terrifying.
Open the door.
The dragon had seen this very moment, this very room. She turned her gaze on the apparat. How is it, through wars and kings and revolutions, you always manage to survive? The priest smiled.
That is a gift I can share with you. I understand men better than they understand themselves. I give the people what they need, comfort, protection, wonder. You may live 1,000 years, Zoyana Zielinski, but my faith means I will live for eternity.
Zoya's eyes met Nina's. Eternity may be shorter than you think. She didn't have to lift her hands to summon the current that suddenly crackled through the air. It ignited around the apparat's guards in sparks of blue fire. They shuddered and shook, burning from the inside, and collapsed. Nina! Zoya shouted. In a flash, the corpses of the guards were on their feet, commanded by Nina's power. They seized the apparat. I'm sorry, she said to the nameless, faceless prisoners in their cells. I'm sorry I can't save you, but I can avenge you. I can love you and let you go. Gas! Shouted the apparat, his eyes wild. Zoya heard the vents open, the whoosh of Parem shooting toward them. She leapt, seizing Nina, feeling the strength of Joris and the dragon. The power of the lives they'd lived and the battles they'd fought flooded her muscles. She slammed through the wall with Nina in her arms, through stone and metal, and into the waiting sky. Nina screamed, "You are strong enough to survive the fall." They were plummeting toward the sea. Zoya felt Jenya's arms around her, Liliana holding her tight. She felt Nikolai's presence beside her and Joris's sword in her hands. With a wild, gasping breath, she felt her wings unfurl.